In the name of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lisa and I were a few weeks away from our 19th wedding anniversary. We dated for 2 years in college before this time. My entire adult life had her as part of it. On Wednesday, everything was normal. On Thursday, she began to feel sick. She stayed home from work on Friday. She thought she had a bad case of some kind of flu. She had plans for the next day. That night, she watched a movie with the family. She still didn't feel well, but she'd been sick at other times. We had, after all, experienced a lot of things in our almost 2 decades together. Every so often, she'd say, "Honey, I don't feel well." After she kept saying that, this seemed to be a little bit unusual, so we decided to go to the ER. Thought she'd be checked out, and I thought she'd get some kind of medicine and then be released. The next few hours were a blur. Several tests, then eventually a life flight to Springfield. Her body systems weren't working right. The word congestive heart failure was thrown around. I went home and woke up the kids to get them ready. They were going to stay with a friend. I called ahead to my sister and brother-in-law so they could meet Lisa at the hospital. I saw her for just a moment, and then they asked us to leave so they could do some procedures with her. I walked down to the lobby of the hospital, and they called me. She was going into heart failure. They brought her back 3 times, but on the 4th time, she was gone. The autopsy said a cyst in her lung burst and caused sepsis, which had her system shutting down. My best friend, my companion in life, was gone. Have you ever walked through a tragedy? Have you ever experienced heart suffering? Be sure that our Savior has also. In our reading today is Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. What does this mean? Well, it's essential to understand that Jesus learning obedience was not about moving from disobedience to obedience, because he never sinned. It was about moving from an untested faith to a tested faith. So let's look at the larger context. The author of the book of Hebrews wrote to a specific audience with whom he was familiar. They're not identified by name or city or region. They were Hellenistic Jews. The original audience of Hebrews was persecuted. There were 2 well-known times of persecution for Christians during the first century AD. One of them would have touched them at least indirectly. In AD 49, the Roman Emperor Claudius expelled Jews from the city of Rome. And around AD 64, Emperor Nero persecuted Christians in the vicinity of Rome. Later on in Hebrews, the audience was reminded to remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who were mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. The original audience of Hebrews was experiencing suffering and persecution. They knew they'd likely face more persecution in the future. Some of the audience was near giving up. In fact, some of the audience were in danger of abandoning their faith. These Christians coming out of Judaism learned in the surrounding scripture in Hebrews 4:14 to 5:10 about Jesus, the great high priest. He'll intercede for God's people. He'll lead them on the right path. He was given the power to save sinners. He's brought eternal salvation to those who believe. He'll bring many sons to glory. This high priest was unlike a human high priest. He was fully God and fully man. He had access to divine omniscience and omnipotence. This high priest, even though he was fully God, in his humanity understood their suffering. Jesus, in his humanity, chose to experience death, hunger, temptation, fatigue. He set an example of fervent prayer. Jesus obeyed God perfectly as an example. His life was a process of making the will of God the Father his own will. He moved from untested faith to tested faith. For Jesus' sufferings were tied with his faith and obedience. Jesus chose to obey even when it was hard. He endured in his humanity an immense amount of suffering. This audience understood that Jesus truly understood their difficulties and understood their sufferings. He was able to give support and comfort during their trials and temptations. The original audience was encouraged in their faith. Because Jesus obeyed perfectly, even under great trial, he could help them to obey no matter how difficult obedience seemed to be. Today, we can be encouraged in our faith by this passage of Scripture. I'd like to focus on one verse in this passage. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. We can be encouraged and strengthened today in our faith and obedience, knowing that suffering can teach us submission to God's will. Some of the most valuable lessons of obedience are learned during the very difficult times. And many of the saints of God before us have been formed by great trials and great tribulations. When Lisa died, my whole world changed. You know, we'd never really talked about death because, you know, we had plenty of time. This time of great suffering with my world out of control made me turn more deeply to the God who was the only one that could help me. He understood my grief because he too had experienced grief. As we talk about learning obedience through suffering, I want to first tell you that suffering is part of our human experience. It's a basic principle of psychology that we as humans tend to run towards pleasure and run away from pain. We live in a self-absorbed culture, don't we? We're taught to do what feels good. This is in direct contrast to the admonition of Jesus where he tells us to take up our cross and follow him. We would sometimes like to choose our own crosses, wouldn't we? But God has a cross just for you to carry, so that you may, as Jesus did, learn obedience through the things that you suffer. We need to ask the question that some may be thinking, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the answer, firstly, is there are no good people. We all need a Savior. In our fallen world, we have sickness and disease. We have dangers, trials, tribulations. In our sinful world, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes things don't make sense. In seminary, I read a eulogy of a pastor's son who died tragically in a car accident. The father had to do the funeral. Everyone was waiting to hear how the father would give meaning to the death of his son. He began the eulogy with, "My son died because he chose to make a right turn with his car instead of a left turn." Sometimes in this world, suffering is caused because people do bad things. God gave mankind a precious gift called free will. And if God continually intervened, then it would no longer be free will. God meets us in our suffering and walks through it with us. He grieves for those who are hurting because he knows what it's like. He loves people in their tragedy. When suffering comes and life is hard, some people's faith becomes shipwrecked. If one believes that Christianity and following Christ is all about rainbows and butterflies, then when bad things happen, they blame God, leave their faith behind. Others will, when life is hard, turn to God and grow in their faith. One of my spiritual mentors used to say, "The same sun that hardens the brick also softens the butter." What he was saying was, the sun represents suffering and difficulty. When suffering comes, there are some like the brick that get a hardened heart and want to be away from God. Other people are like the butter, and they become tender-hearted, and they melt themselves into God. I said earlier that Jesus learned obedience through his suffering, and that his faith went from untested to tested. It's easy to be spiritual when things are going well and you can bask in blessings. A tested faith is faith that is there when others might give up. A tested faith will continue to follow God even if no one else would. It is said that a young sheep fights when it's being sheared. It doesn't like it. An older sheep will stand patiently, for they trust the shearer and they know that this too shall pass. Lisa dying was not the first time I'd experienced suffering, though it was the hardest. I already knew in my heart that God loved me in my suffering. Second thing I want to tell you today is that we learn faithfulness to God in our suffering. The first two of the Ten Commandments deal directly with our being faithful to God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. God is a jealous God. God declares that he will not tolerate unfaithfulness and competition with anything else. An idol is anything that you might place in a higher priority over God. We cannot have images or place anything in our lives that has preeminence over God. In our sufferings, we learn faithfulness. Faithfulness means that we trust God never leaves us and that God will care for us. And we follow his leading even though we have to suffer. Faithfulness, by the way, is not an overnight lesson. Obedience is an ongoing process. We sometimes move away from the right path. We struggle. We don't always do it right. Sometimes we'll cry and go through deep heart struggles. Faithfulness means we get back up and keep walking when we falter. The good news is we don't have to produce faithfulness alone. God promises to give us strength when we need it. One of my bosses taught me a phrase that was used in the military when things got difficult. Embrace the suck. He said, when life sucks, instead of running away from it, just embrace it and realize that you have to go through it. Nobody wants to suffer if they had a choice. We don't have to act like we like it when we're in the middle of it. Sometimes in suffering, it's so overwhelming that we can't even imagine what we'll be able to do with it a month from now. And so sometimes we have to cope with our suffering from minute to minute to minute. To learn faithfulness and obedience, we must let our selfish will and flesh die so the life of Christ may live through us. This process of dying to your flesh is called mortification. We practice mortification when we choose faith and obedience rather than do what we feel like doing. One area of our mortification is to love others even when it's hard. We have compassion even when people are unkind. It means thinking well of others instead of assuming the worst of their intentions. It means offering godly counsel and building them up when they feel weak. Mother Teresa was a great example of faithful mortification. It's said that the great secret of touching her heart was to do her a bad turn. The key to being faithful is to seek to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Let him work through you to love others, and let him help you to mortify your flesh. I did not want Lisa to die. It was the most painful thing that I've experienced. There were many times that I wanted to avoid people, stay in bed, and not deal with life. This was not the right thing to do. I had three children who were also hurting and confused. I knew that it would honor Lisa if I sought to raise her kids right. I decided that helping others would help me to put my mind off myself. Sometimes our heart suffering never completely goes away, such as in grief. We're marked by it the rest of our lives, and God continues to walk with us. Third thing I want to tell you today is that suffering teaches us to trust. Jesus is our example, followed the will of the Father, and trusted him. Since his faith was tested through suffering, he was eventually able to go to the cross. Do you remember in the garden where he prayed, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus' prayer wasn't answered. Though he asked, the cup was not taken away. However, his prayer that the Father's will be done was answered. Trust means that we acknowledge that God is God and that he'll take care of us. Trusting God means that even if we think we blew plan A, that God can take plan B and make it better than plan A could ever have been. Have you ever done a trust fall where you close your eyes and you fall backwards and someone catches you? That's what it's like to trust God. Fall back in his arms and wait for him to catch you. This passage of scripture gives us encouragement in our suffering. My greatest suffering happened, by the way, when I thought I was seeking to follow God and do everything right. I was a pastor at the time. Shouldn't I be exempt? This whole thing wasn't fair. Someone asked my sister if I was angry with God because of Lisa's death. At the end of the day, I knew that God was my only answer, and that he was the only one that could help and sustain me through all of it. If Jesus' suffering perfected his obedience, why would I expect any different for myself? And now for the rest of the story. In my story, out of tragedy came redemption. One of the people who contacted me after Lisa's death was Jamie. She'd been friends with Lisa and I in college. We'd lost touch, hadn't talked to her in about 20 years. She heard from a mutual friend that Lisa had passed away. She called me. She messaged me and I called her. We began to talk on the phone. I found out that she'd been a widow herself for 6.5 years. This year, I will have been married to this wonderful woman for 10 years. You know, also, I had always wanted 4 children. My 4th came to me with Jamie when he was 11 years old. I knew that he was truly my son after I yelled at him the same way I yelled at his brother, who's 7 months older. Because of both of our sufferings as widows, Jamie and I learned some very important lessons. Firstly, that life is short. We try to appreciate time as much as we can, knowing that things can change in an instant. We also learned that we need to spend time together, so we always try to go on date nights and weekends together. We try to enjoy every little moment because we found out that there's no such thing as a little moment. We've learned that at the end of the day, we really don't have much control over life. But we do know that the only thing that's secure in this life is God. We can walk through suffering with God. In conclusion, on this earth we will have suffering. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it." The church has outlasted culture after culture, worldly kingdom after worldly kingdom, superpower after superpower. The church has survived good times, bad times, good governments, bad governments. Jesus is our example of experienced suffering to have a tested faith. My last question to you and to me is, are we willing to suffer? Amen.